This is Kate in the podcast Find It. Today we continue a series on holy living, how to discern God's will in your life. Today we will talk about how to read the Bible. Richard Hooker was an Anglican priest born in 1554 in England. Hooker introduced a powerful thought that has shaped the branch of worldwide Christianity that is called Anglicanism ever since. The Anglican Communion is the third largest branch of Christianity today. There are about 110 million Anglicans across the globe. Hooker believed that God gave us centuries of tradition and worship, the Bible as an authority to look to, but that God also gave each and every human being a third gift, which must be part of all faith and discernment, the gift of reason. A follower of Jesus must also rely on reason. In other words, God gave us a brain and asks us to use it. God wants us to question and analyze and even doubt. God does not want us checking our brains at the door of church before we come inside, or any worship space for that matter, but using all our faculties to examine everything. To seek understanding is a form of faith, and knowledge is beautiful. As Episcopalians, we are the descendants of Richard Hooker, Anglicans who chose the word Episcopal during the American Revolution because we were patriots. We love this country. We value freedom, discourse, and debate, and we believe God gave us reason as one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. We read the Bible with our eyes open and our brains on and with the love of God in our hearts. And when you open the Bible, you can see quite quickly that there are some serious contradictions. Take the story of creation, after all, it's the first few pages of the Bible. Read it carefully, with your eyes open and your rational mind awake. You can easily see that it is not one creation story, but two, and that the order in which God creates animals and humans differs in these two stories. In the original Hebrew language, even the name of God differs. So which one is right? Which ones were made first, animals or people? Why do these stories come one after another and say different things right at the beginning of the Bible? What does it mean to believe that the Bible is the Word of God when it contradicts itself? What does it mean to believe that the Bible is the Word of God and to choose not to obey certain parts of it? Everyone chooses not to obey certain parts of the Bible. For example, I, as a woman, am supposed to cover my head, not to speak aloud in church, boy have I broken that rule, and I cannot come in when I'm menstruating at all. Slaves must remain slaves and be obedient to their masters according to the Bible. But most rational people have come to believe that all forms of slavery are unjust, and a woman must be obedient to her husband, by the way, which most women would not want to hear anymore. But we don't do these things in this country anymore. At least most of us don't. So how can we say we believe that the Bible is the Word of God? The Bible is the Word of God spoken through the words of the people of God, as my old seminary professor used to say. God didn't reach a huge hand down from heaven to pen it, but rather inspired certain people in differing times and places to write down the holy words. The Bible began as scroll, papyri. If you look at the texts of the original languages of Hebrew and Koine or Common Greek, you can see that there are lots and lots of footnotes. This is because the scrolls and papyri were copied by hand, often by monks and often by candlelight. These monks were not computers. They did their best to copy accurately, but they made various mistakes, occasionally leaving out words and even phrases. This was by no means an exact science. To read the Bible as an Anglican is to recognize that the Word of God comes to us in a rich tapestry of voices, of languages, and times in history. It is part of our devotion to learn how and when each passage of Scripture was written down, and how many tales from the Bible passed down orally for centuries before ink was put on parchment. The voice of God is within the text of Scripture, but God has to funnel the divine message through human messengers. Take the prophets. They were often strange, recluse types, but God spoke to them, and they wrote down what God said, what they heard and saw. In order to fully absorb the meaning of the message, we must come to know these prophets as people and understand the times in which they lived. This is a form of deep devotion, for all language and all communication comes through a medium, and to understand the medium is to come closer to the deep meaning of the message. The most direct communication that we have found from God is, in fact, the person of Jesus, as recorded in Scripture. But even there, the four Gospels differ dramatically in how they portray him and the kinds of miracles and parables that they chose to convey. To live a life as an Episcopalian is to wrestle with Scripture just like Jacob wrestled with the angel. David wrestled too, I'm sure. It is to honor linguistics, history, science, and theology. It is to stand in awe of this magnificent book and to believe that in the wrestling we are in fact transformed. The most brilliant part of the Word of God is that it keeps opening to us. Take the parables of Jesus. I've been reading them my whole life, and yet each time I read them again, I realize something new. The Bible is miraculous. It is confounding and frustrating and inspiring and amazing, and it will change you if you read it daily. I don't understand how or why, but in the wrestling with Scripture, you will be changed. So my simple advice is this: just read it. Read it with your whole being, with your rational mind on, your heart open. Look at art that represents the stories, tell them orally to the people you love, and live in them through the liturgical seasons of the church. In this way, you will be transformed. Thank you for joining me in today's session of Find It. May God bless you richly every day.